Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. What? This is... I love that noise. You ever, like...
What is that?
We need the...
I love that sound.
Most annoying sound in the world.
Yep. Yep.
Where was I at that sound? It was just like...
That's the one.
In the history of the world. It's so fucking terrible.
Pretty much. It's pretty much the best. Episode number 82, we're Brothers, We're Geeks, recording this on the 5th of November.
Fox? This is Guy Fox Day or something.
Yeah. Is everybody going to watch V for Vendetta today?
V for Vendetta, we need to watch that.
Yeah.
It was shown on BBC earlier. I was clicking around and it was on BBC America earlier today.
Makes sense.
I love that movie. I really like it.
It's kind of an interesting movie because, like, the main character is a terrorist. He's blowing shit
100%.
Up. Yeah.
100%.
He's a freedom fighter.
Yeah. That's the difference. Freedom fighters don't kill civilians. That's the difference.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the point of that movie is, yeah, like,
freedom fighters don't kill innocents.
Right.
They try not to.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. He tries not to kill. He tortures the shit out of... What's her name, though? Anyways, this isn't the V for Vendetta show. This is the Brothers Geek show, and these are my two brothers. Hello, Andrew.
Hi.
And hello, Christopher.
Greetings and salutations.
So, there's a bunch of stuff that came out from the last episode, like Stranger Things 2, Thor Ragnarok came out this weekend...
There's been video game news.
New
games, bunch of, you know, some
bunch of new games,
new
right?
Games came out, yeah.
So let's just dive right in. Like, did everybody? Let's start with Thor Ragnarok. Everybody saw it, right?
Yes.
We'll try. It just came out this weekend, so we're not in the spoiler zone, I don't think yet. But we'll try not to spoil it. Because it just came out, but what did you guys think? What do you think of Thor Ragnarok?
I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed how just unabashedly goofball it was.
It was very goofy.
Jeff Goldblum is just a goofball.
Right.
He is a complete maniac in the movie, and I think that's I loved it.
Mm.
I was describing it to a friend of mine earlier today when she asked me about the movie. It's a lot of fun. It's very entertaining. It looks great. You know, all the actors in it are... I mean, Marvel really has... I don't think they've miscast a role in their entire cinematic universe, in my opinion. So all the actors are incredibly watchable and fun to watch. And
yeah, Kate Blanchett is awesome in this. Yeah.
Oh my God, Kate Blanchett is so... She's great as Hela. She is just loving every single second.
Yeah, she's just having fun. Yeah.
She's just having fun. She's playing a big arch villain. It's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she's a great villain.
Yep, she's got shit to work with in that role. Yeah,
she does, yeah. Yep. She's, you know, she's got a point of view, and she definitely feels wronged, and she feels justifiably... superior to everyone around her, and yeah, she's got all those kind of good, kind of tasty motivations for an actor to kind of love with. I will say this, it's like other MCU movies. There's, I mean, what, 12, 13 MCU movies now, maybe? Maybe more. It's, except for maybe two or three MCU movies, it's one of those incredibly fun to watch movies, but on the whole, it's kind of forgettable, in my opinion.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Like,
I mean, it's a lot of fun. You have a great time watching it. Mm-hmm. You may watch it again, but I didn't feel the immediate need to watch it again.
I think that applies to all of the Thor movies, actually.
Yeah.
The Thor movies always feel, and have felt to me anyway, tangential to the MCU, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just think that they are designed to be palate cleansers and or side stories and or this is a great character that we got to figure out how to tell stories around because of the awesome, you know, locations, and Hemsworth is a god.
He's a freaking movie star. Give him a movie. Let him be a movie star.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, let him
so
be a movie
gotta,
star.
So they have a vehicle for him, and so that's exactly the role. But they are not – it is not like, oh, my God, serious. None of them have been central to the whole thing. I think they are meant to be one-off.
Mm.
This is part of this universe, however – you know, they none of them have been that memorable.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, I liked Dark World more than a lot of people gave it credit for, but I feel like I mean, there's been so many of these movies. I guess for me, I want it to mean more. Like I kind of felt that way about Guardians 2. I wanted the movies to have more of a role in the central overarching build to Infinity War.
My perspective is I'm the opposite. I like the fact that there is only a core set. I don't want
The Captain America movies. I mean, the Captain America movies have become kind of the spine of the cinematic universe in terms of, I mean, starting with Winter Soldier, and for my money, it's the best MCU movie, I think.
Oh yeah.
And then even following through to Civil War, which is kind of almost a sequel to Avengers, Age of Ultron. Cap's more centralized in that movie, but the two Avengers movies and then Winter Soldier and Civil War have really become, you know, movies that have furthered the cinematic universe story forward.
Right.
For me. And they're, and I mean, yeah, Winter Soldier is probably the most consequential because S.H.I.E.L.D. existed before Winter Soldier happened, and then S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't exist after Winter Soldier happened.
We basically have had three movies, though, with no mention of Infinity Stones whatsoever. So it's sort of like they couldn't do...
Other than a tossed-off line about, I looked for them and couldn't find them.
Right, that's it. That's it. He went and looked, and then he came back. He gave up. Like, well, that's it? Yeah. Okay.
So there's no, you that. And so, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed this movie a lot for its humor. Its style was awesome. I love the style. I love the banter. The Thor-Hulk relationship is hilarious and great.
The Thor-Hulk Banner relationship, because they're different. You know, him and the Hulk is very different than him and the Banner, and it's great. Yeah.
Thor not taking himself too seriously. The first Thor movie was on cable, and we were watching that last night. And my God, the way they introduced that character and the way he is, and even after he has his comeuppance, he's very serious and very self-serious. And I'm the God of Thunder and all of that. Where the evolution of him from there through Dark World to this movie, where he is the opposite of the God of Thunder, taking himself too seriously. It's very fun. It's very fun.
I agree. So yeah, it's ultimately very fun, but ultimately kind of forgettable.
Number it did domestically?
120 million or something.
Whoa.
Just ridiculously big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not like, I mean, Avengers big. Avengers was 200 million.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean,
that's still pretty good.
Those Thor movies are doing what? Between 250 and 300 million, right? Domestically. Mm-hmm. That's a huge number.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is huge. Yeah.
Yeah,
they're not in the top tier of like Iron Man movies, even Captain America movies. They're not kind of in that level of audience that pulls in humongous numbers. But I mean, they always perform very well. This is a huge opening.
I have one big narrative gripe with the movie. There's this mention that Banner says that if he turns into the Hulk, he might not turn back into Bruce Banner again. And he does turn into the Hulk for the final fight. Spoiler, sorry. And then they never reference it again. Like, you see him as the Hulk, and he doesn't turn back into Banner. So it's possible that, like, Bruce Banner is no more, and they never come back to it. And I'm kind of sad about that.
I think that that's just Banner expressing a fear.
I think that was just him expressing fear of losing a total sense of self.
I don't think that's a like a set in stone. This is the rule now. I think that that's just his worry about being him being lost. He was 2 years as trapped in Hulk, right? That's what we're supposed to believe. So
exactly,
I think he's worried about sort of that happening again, where he's trapped in Hulk for another.
Okay, yeah. So you don't think he actually is lost? That's what you're saying. You don't think that he actually is like not going to be able to come back? Like you think that he will be able to turn?
Because from Mark Ruffalo's iteration of the Hulk. Then how he first kind of talked about him as the other guy, that very first conversation that Ruffalo's Banner has with Black Widow in that shack in India, where he talks about what if the other guy doesn't want to do that, the other guy, he really sees the Hulk as totally separate from him, and that's the way he's compartmentalized all the horrible, terrible violence that the Hulk does, is that it's not actually him. And if the Hulk can exist as a fully formed person for 2 years and have a life, I mean, Banner will obviously be extremely afraid that he will be totally eclipsed as the dominant personality or the dominant form that exists in this, you know, in this one kind of body.
Right.
So I think that is just the ultimate expression of Banner's fear that he's losing his ability to control the Hulk, if the Hulk can exist for years at a time, not even in, you know, as a reaction to the stimulus of anger.
Right, yeah. You know, he was the Hulk. We might be getting into spoiler zones here, but, I mean, he was the Hulk for a very long time before Thor shows up and they have their interaction. So it's like, he doesn't need to be raging,
The Hulk-Thor fight was great. I really like that. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
See them throw down again.
Yeah, they have to have all the Avengers fight the Hulk, it seems.
The jokes that they do around who's the strongest Avenger, is hilarious. That is nerdy humor.
Yep.
That is absolute weak house stuff for what we do, what people who are fans do, is compare all of them, and I love the fact that they actually know that, and they nailed all of that. Very funny, and that's
very funny.
And the fact that it was an expression of Tony Stark's sense of humor is the other part of it that just cracked me up, because it's just totally in line with Stark's character and his interactions with both of them. So it's really good.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's some funny. This script is really good. It's really funny. It's really fun. And it's just kind of, ridiculous action and superheroes. And
it drags a little. I found it dragged a little on the arena planet, wherever they were.
Sakaar.
Scar.
Yeah.
Sakaar.
Yeah. It dragged a little bit, but all in all, it was a 2-hour and 10-minute. It went by quick, and it was highly entertaining. I found it highly entertaining.
The
next MCU movie we're gonna get is Black Panther, which I can taste.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be awesome.
Oh my god!
So did you guys all watch Stranger Things 2?
Oh yes,
100%.
Okay, so we're all caught up. We might spoil Stranger Things 2 a little bit, so maybe go watch that for the next, 10 minutes or so. Skip ahead, maybe. What do we think of Stranger Things 2? What's the takeaway?
Christopher?
It was more of a mixed bag than season 1 for me. A couple episodes really did not land. All in all, I enjoyed it very much. I have to say, I love the return to that world, and those characters are all great. I think they did a nice job of extending sort of the mythology, and the actor who plays Will really has a central role and did a great job. All the acting was really well done.
He was the surprise of the season for me, how good he was, kind of as more of a grown-up role.
Yep.
Yeah, but I that was a surprise for me at how much I liked Will in this season, for sure.
I didn't, you know, part of me really didn't like the fact that Eleven did not have a more central role in the whole thing. But there's also that I understand the choice that it's very easy for a show like this to be focused on the Jedi, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got power and she can kick ass all the time. And so they have to deal with the fact that she's got power and she can kick ass all the time, really. And so removing her from the conflict and the challenges that the kids have to deal with, I think was pretty smart in that that allows those kids to deal with things without having to fall back on the superhero.
Well, and then people have been griping about episode 7, I think it is, where she's just – it's a bottle episode more or
she's
less.
Off.
And,
yeah.
I, that we I all Chris... – in my household, we all had the same reaction. It's like, oh, what the hell?
That, yeah. That episode did not land for me at all.
No,
I didn't.
No.
I like that they tried to give Eleven an arc that she's confronting. She's
right.
confronted with people who are embracing the vengeful side of
right.
You know, the
they should
you know,
they should expanded that more group. Though. That what happened in that episode should have taken place over the course of like 3 episodes, and then while that's happening, they should have been cutting back and forth because it just you could literally just not watch it and the story keeps going. Like the main,
that's exactly right. They should have tied it more back into
yeah.
going back home.
Mm-hmm.
It was so sort of abrupt, and
yeah.
it should have been more fully developed as an arc for her
right.
and her and what she was looking for, and what she found, and the goofy
yeah.
sort of stereotypes of that team and what they were.
Yeah.
It was just very lazy.
Yeah.
In my mind, lazy 80s sort of stereotypes, which bum me out because they used to great effect in other episodes and in other central parts of the show. They used to great effect the 80s and what it is, all of the stuff in my childhood, right?
Yeah.
And that episode was totally caricatures of memories I have for those types of people in that time period. So it was kind of dumb because of that. And so like I agree with you totally, Patrick, that you don't even have to watch that episode to follow the entire arc because you know,
honestly,
knowing Eleven, you know what she's looking for, she know what
yep.
she's seeking, and you everybody who's watching the show can say in their own head the 3 sentences it takes to describe that arc that she goes through in that episode, and then she goes back to her team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
She goes home.
Yeah.
She runs away from home. She's confronted with, you know,
she searches
the
for answers. Yeah. She
yeah.
searches for answers. She finds some things she's looking for. She goes down a dark path. She realizes her mistakes, and she decides, I got to go back be with my real friends.
Right.
I mean,
yep.
It was a lazy episode.
It was lazily written. In a way, it felt like a backdoor pilot. Like
mm-hmm.
this.
Oh
was an
yeah, I've heard
launch.
Talk of
like,
that.
That team's gonna get their own show.
I heard rumor that was like the feeling that they want to do a spin-off show with this girl and her team.
Like, it's like when they do another when NCIS wants to expand into a new city.
Yeah.
They do a backdoor pilot where they go to a new city and they meet up with the investigative team in New Orleans, and then that's the back. It introduces the thread of the New Orleans investigative team, and then the next season they get their own show.
I strongly suspect that because I haven't seen any positive reaction to that episode, that my
exactly.
guess is that effort is dead.
Hmm.
They didn't make it nearly as compelling enough to
I
warrant
completely
its
agree
own
with
show.
You.
They, I
yeah.
mean, here's the thing,
be,
though. Here's the thing, though. If they,
that's what it felt like.
If they produce a show with her as a central character, a spinoff show, I don't know. I'd probably watch it just because it's connected to the Stranger Things universe. But, like, I'd give it a couple episodes, and then that's about it.
But
like you,
I don't know. Dude, think about it this way. I mean, we're fans of the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
We engage with all the movies. We get excited for the movies, but none of us watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, do we?
No, That totally is weak sauce.
None of us watched Inhumans. Not a single one of us. We never even mentioned Inhumans.
Oh yeah.
And because it ended up being such a pile of shit.
Yeah, if the reviews had come back for Inhumans and they were pretty good, I probably would have given it a shot. But dude, the overarching, like, this is just awful, you know, response that Inhumans got. I don't care, maybe eventually I'll watch it just because, but no, it's, I have no desire to watch that.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., apparently the last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was one of its best seasons. It's been going for 4 years.
Wow.
And the last season apparently was really good.
Okay.
People really liked it.
I don't watch it anymore. Right. It was fun for the first season, but then with is Joss Whedon still producing it? He's kind of like he's at odds with Marvel.
He's a brand now. He's kind of like a brand. He's like J.J. Abrams.
Right.
He touches his
name.
Jerry Bruckheimer. He's that kind of guy, you know. So I feel like the first like four episodes of Stranger Things are kind of weak. My overall take on the series is the first season, like, we get going right away. There's Will's riding home from Mike's, and the Demigorgon takes him, like, right out of the gate, and we're looking for Will. There's so much mystery, there's so much, like, intrigue. It really takes, like, it's a slow burn to, like, the fifth episode, and then once the fifth episode happens, it's awesome. It's like there's a lot of stuff happening.
Well,
but
this,
like, the first
is the harder season to make, mm-hmm, because the mystery of what happened to Will Byers, that is the narrative arc that props up the whole first season. So once you have that done, making the second season and, you know, you building on it and not having kind of that central narrative arc of what happened to Will.
Yeah.
It's a harder kind of story to tell over 9 episodes, I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I accepted some of the narrative choices in terms of the kids are growing up, they're becoming more individuals. Mm. I mean, Dustin has more of his own story. He has his own.
Dude, he's more of the main character in this season than any of the kids. I'll argue it, because, like, his whole story with, like, the Dart, and then mm-hmm. eventually his whole story with I'm blanking on the older guy's name, with the spike bat, the
Steve
Harrington.
Steve Harrington.
I would argue that he's the central character of season two.
Oh yeah. Like,
Harrington? There's a strong argument for that. Absolutely.
Steve Harrington's story in season two is so much better than Nancy and what's his name's story. Like, that
his older brother, I forget his
so
name,
flat. Their, like, love this season is, like, I didn't feel it at all. Like, their chemistry is, like, doesn't exist. I know that fans were like, why did she choose Steve at the end of season one? Like, I don't get it. And it made sense to me. I thought that was a great choice, because it's, like, it's not black and white. It's not, like, he helped me and so I'm going to be with him now, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I like Steve. Steve is a good guy, and he showed up, and he came back. Like,
yeah, Steve isn't a bad guy at all.
No.
Steve is a good guy.
Right.
He's just, you know, he's a teenage boy.
Right.
He does what he does.
And he's afraid of the government, and he doesn't know how to fix it. Like, that's what she's mad at him about? Like, that he doesn't know how to fix this problem? I don't know. I thought that was a terrible choice, and I love Steve Harrington. I think I'm Team Steve Harrington all day. So
I mean, yeah, I don't know about that. He's kind of a dick.
He's kind of a dick.
Oh yeah, he's definitely kind of a dick. But I like
definitely,
it.
Definitely, they did a good job of capturing. He's a stereotypical rich kid in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a
he drives a BMW.
Arc.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
He has an actual arc where some of the others are kind of one-dimensional. So
oh, yeah.
Steve was an interesting character just because he has an arc, where others, not so much. So.
Yeah. The Jonathan and Nancy, like, mystery, the duo was kind of silly. I like that one.
It was better in season one because they had the mystery they were both working on.
Right.
Jonathan was looking for his brother. You know, Nancy got pulled into Jonathan's story more or less because she was looking for Barb after Barb disappeared in season or episode 3 of season 1. So they had common cause. They were both going towards the same thing. The second season, they kind of get thrown into things, and they kind of decide that they're going to, you know, find justice, try to figure things out and try to expose this plot or whatever, but it's less of kind of a strong arc for them both to follow because it takes them away from the central theme of what's going on. That's the more people have more individual stories that have less to do with the main mystery. Mm-hmm. Season one was stronger because almost all of the stories tied into the main mystery of what happened.
Right, right.
The second season.
This is just kind of scattered. There's lots of different stories happening and then not necessarily overlapping the main story. What'd you guys think of Billy? The addition of Billy and Max to the crew.
I like Max as like kind of a nice addition to the Dungeons and Dragons party and kind of how she kind of, you know, it shows their growing up, kind of their changing dynamic as boys discovering girls and competing a little bit for a girl's attention and not wanting to admit it. And, you know, the perfect moment of them, they're so excited to show up to school dressed as Ghostbusters.
I love that.
I love it.
I came to school.
I was cringing.
I went to school in my costume in like seventh grade, and then 90% of the people weren't wearing costumes. I had that moment, and I just like it made me so like, oh,
it's so cringy, but it's so true. Like when you're 12, 13, and you're kind of like Halloween, you start to like older, kind of more mature things, but you're also really still enjoy cartoons and you like to play video games.
Correct.
And that those things won't really go away.
There's a little of that throughout this whole thing. There's comments from people like, oh, why do you still have toys? You know, and like,
the little sister's like, why do you still have toys?
Yeah, you stuff should grow like up. Yeah. And her like talking about them not having any girls, like girlfriends, you know, and
I thought that they handled all the adolescent growing up stuff very well.
Yeah, that stuff was pretty good. That was one of the better like arcs for all the characters was, hey, they're all growing up and they're all figuring this stuff out. Wow. Monsters are attacking them and, you know, the world is coming to an end because of giant smoke monsters.
More smoke monsters. God, everything's got a smoke monster. Right? Lost had a smoke monster and now
it's just
Stranger Things.
Well, this smoke monster is more or less like the Sauron. It's a formless like evil that takes over.
That dominates that
world. Right, exactly. And it has minions and it has some kind of, you know, it controls these little vine plants and controls giant, you know.
Be careful of spoilers.
Yeah, exactly. So it's an interesting thing with the whole Demi dogs. I don't know. But some of the things I like the explanations, but some of the things are like, that's totally not what it is. Like, they're making stuff up. Like, the whole them calling it the Mind Flayer and like kind of they're assuming a lot. Like, we're supposed to take that as like Dustin knows, but they have no idea.
I think, but they debunked that. I thought that was a really good way of handling that because that's a standard criticism is nobody takes that at face value.
Right.
Yeah. He's trying to use that as a metaphor, and he gets called out. It's like, that's not real. This is real. And I thought that moment was important in that. They're using Dungeons and Dragons to help to describe something that is inexplicable.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're referring to something that they are immersed in. This is exactly the kind of thing that I would have done as a kid and confronted with all this shit because I was totally immersed in that world and had memorized the monster manual. And so I knew about all this stuff, and so my mind would have exactly gone where they went in terms of as a mind flay.
Chris,
so,
are you a dungeon master?
Yes, I was on occasion a dungeon master.
Oh, so you didn't have one. You had
Our crew, we rotated. Yeah, people who wanted to do that and had come up with something, they could be the dungeon master.
All right.
This is kind of a sideways segue, though. The other day, I played Dungeons & Dragons for the first time with Chris Ryan and a couple of people from Phoenix. We did it over Skype. And we had our dice, and we rolled, and we did a whole dungeon thing. He has They already had a story going.
Did they have a module that they created, or did they buy one?
They had a board. I don't know what you mean by module, but they had a board. They had little tokens for the players. They were using the book as like, this is the
Which
monster
book?
You're fighting. The he had I think it was version 5 dungeon.
Okay, so a rule book.
He had all the rule books.
When I say module, I mean a contained story. Like,
right.
From beginning to end, we would buy modules.
He has a story. I don't know if he's taken it from if he bought like a story arc that he's using, or if he made it up. I think he made it up.
We did both. We would buy modules that had a complete story with maps and dungeons and surface maps and that. Or we would create our own. We did both.
He looked like he'd buy modules. Right.
And
he looked like he drew.
Money, we would create our own.
They had a mat that looked like dungeon that had drawings of theirs on it. Like it was they had constructed it. I think that it's a dry erase map kind of a thing.
Yeah,
so you could draw on it and then erase it and do a different map on it. But
we did that if we had we had figurines. But most of our gaming was without the figures. What character did you roll?
So I made a half orc warrior. He's a warrior, like a frenzy warrior. He goes into rage. And his name is Fergertur, no vowels. Fergertur the Hapless is his name. And he's brother to Chris Ryan's character. He's been raised by dwarves. Chris Ryan's character is Bombar something or other, Lightforge. Bombar Lightforge, and he's a cleric. He's a dwarven cleric. And him and I, dude, we went, like, this encounter we had, we were just wrecking. We stood next to each other and we just wrecked the whole crew, and the whole other team was like not even close to fighting what we were fighting. And between the two of us, we killed a dragon, we killed like six skeletons, and
what,
like the
brand of dragon.
It was a skeleton dragon. It was undead, and Chris Ryan. Chris Ryan's a cleric, so he could turn undead, which basically cause it to run away. So, like, we had this encounter where we had the dragon attacking us, and we had all these skeletons, and then this like evil minion of this entity was there too, and like he sent the dragon away, and then I started killing all the skeletons, and then I killed her, and then the dragon came back, and then him and I attacked the dragon and killed the dragon, and I picked up the sword, and it was crazy.
I have so many good memories.
Oh yeah, and it was the first time I'd done it. You know, check that off the list. It was so fun. I guess they do one a month, more or less.
Oh yeah.
So I'm really excited about doing that again, because man, that's a good time. And we were like getting real into it, you know, having fun and laughing, and the story is like really it's pretty open. Like, hey, what do you want to do here? And my character is kind of like dumb. I made him like kind of, he's a moron, but he loves Chris Ryan's character, so all he wants to do is help him. And it's just it's fun playing like role playing like that, where you're just
it is it's good.
Yeah so sorry for the cut in on Stranger Things there, but I had to mention that
dovetails perfectly with Stranger Things.
What do you guys think of all
their imagination is confronting them? So
what do you guys think of all the 80s references? Did you have a favorite? I really like the arcade stuff a lot. I never really played Dig Dug, though.
I was about to say, the arcade stuff is great, but it didn't really land for me because I didn't actually play those games.
Right.
Like, I never played Dragon Slayer or Dragon... Is it Dragon Lair? Dragon's Lair?
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair.
Dragon's Lair.
Yeah.
I never played Dragon's Lair. I never played Dig Dug.
I only played Dragon's Lair a few times because it was effing hard. Like, and it was
and expensive. Like, it, I,
right.
It was,
they mentioned that even in the show, that it's like 50 cents. It was always expensive. 50 cents. Yeah. Uh-oh.
And it was hard. It was hard to play.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
50 cents, so it was hard, so I never played it.
I don't remember how deep I got into it, but I you had to memorize timing, and you had to be very careful about it. It was timing-based. And I got decent at it, but I didn't get that deep into it just because it was hard, and I didn't have a bunch of money. So.
Mm-hmm, did you have the moment where you would dig for quarters in your cushions of your couch?
Oh, hell yes.
I used to go raid Dad's coin jar in their room, take like $3
huge coin jar.
My memories of going to the arcade were you and I, Andrew, would go to like the dollar movie theater and then play video games until the movie started.
Because the theaters were never full. There was only like 10 people in any showing.
Yeah.
So it's not like you had to worry about getting a seat. So yeah, we'd play video games before.
Yeah.
Well, I remember. Do you remember the arcade that was like when Metro Center had the skating rink?
Yeah.
And they converted the skating rink into like the downstairs.
Dude, I loved going down there. I loved it. Was it's like this arcade dungeon.
Oh,
it was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so fun. It was just giant circle. I remember going down there and. Yeah, that was probably like
X-Men, the cabinet X-Men game.
Oh yeah,
oh my god!
And you were Wolverine, I was Colossus.
Those were early '90s games.
Yeah, those
were the early '80s.
Totally, totally. Yeah. What was your favorite games from arcades when you were younger, Christopher? What was your like '80s arcade game, Christopher? Did we lose Christopher?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can't hear you. There. Okay, you're back.
Okay. My favorite games: Galaga.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Defender.
I don't know if I remember Defender.
A shit ton of Joust.
Wait, I have a friend at work who is reading Ready Player One, and we were talking about it this past week, and she was describing where she was in the book and. We were talking about, you know, she's got some geekiness going on, and we were talking about kind of the references and all the 80s things, and she gets some of, like, the movies, but she doesn't get a lot of the video references. The first dungeon that Percival goes into where he has to play... What does he play in the first dungeon?
He plays Joust. He plays Joust against the Skeleton King. Yeah. Uh-oh.
When Klein is describing how Joust... No frame of reference, because I never played it, and she... He had the same. She's
guys.
She never had that experience.
Guys, yeah. you guys are cutting in and out here. Let me pause it for a second. We're going again.
Okay. Yeah. No. The friend and I at work, we were talking about it. We didn't have that frame of reference with the video games. So, the '80s video games that are described in Ready Player One and that are described and shown in Stranger Things, I know what they are, but I've never played them, so it's hard for me to kind of like have that nostalgia ping in my heart. Like, oh, you know, I remember playing that and spending $15 to try to beat that game or whatever. I didn't have those moments, but I kind of knew what they were. But you said, I mean, Christopher, you played Joust and
I played everything. Thing referenced in Ready Player One and all the games that that are in Stranger Things, I played all.
So did anybody watch the Stranger Things after show? Did you watch the after show where they like talk with the creators and the cast about the episodes?
I'm on like episode.
What episode? Oh man!
I think I watched the first two.
I
don't know how many there are.
There's seven,
five or six. I watched a couple.
Yeah,
I haven't watched.
They're pretty good. That. They talk about, you know, little subtle references and nods, and you get the character's take on some of it. Some of it's good. Some of it's just sort of like, okay, we're gonna make you watch another show just because. They talk about Dig Dug being like a, you know, reference because the Demogorgon creatures are digging underground, and that kind of has to do with the right. Like they pick Dig Dug specifically because that's sort of like a running theme is like the tunnels and the creatures underground attacking them and stuff. So I thought that was kind of interesting, but yeah, I liked it overall. It was pretty good. Like we said, there's some throwaway stuff, but for the most part, it's pretty entertaining,
it's
right?
It's solid entertainment.
Right,
fire.
Right. So, and we'll totally watch Stranger Things 3, you know?
As much as we say that, you know, some of it was slow and there's an episode that doesn't really land at all, it doesn't waste any time. It's 9 episodes, and it moves the story along, and, you know, people have fun things to do, and it's got a more or less interesting mystery going on, so it's worth the 9 hours of binge watching. It's purely built to binge watch that show.
Yeah,
you're not wasting any time with it for sure.
Oh, dude, I mean, I had the day off when it came out, so the night before it dropped at like 1 a.m. my time. So I watched a couple episodes that night, and then the next day I had the day off, so I just hung out at my house and watched all of them.
I've spent a Sunday watching it. I started the first episode at like 8 or 9, and I was done by that evening.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
I left my house for a couple hours to run errands or whatever. Yeah, I came back and I finished the season. Took me a day.
I want to talk about the Orville in Star Trek Discovery, but maybe I'll wait until Star Trek Discovery is done. Because I think I've been watching both, and I have a lot to say about both and how they're kind of they're taking a different stance on each thing. So maybe I'll hold on to that. Have you guys been watching the Orville or Star Trek Discovery? Do you want to comment on any of that?
I am current with Star Trek Discovery. I am not current with Orville. I watched a few episodes of Orville, but the thing that I will say about Star Trek Discovery is just that it's not very fun.
Yeah.
And that may be a reflection of the fact that the main character is just so serious.
Yeah.
And she's so not engaging.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a war story. Yeah. I mean, the Klingon Federation war is going on, so it's not meant to be overly jovial because they're fighting a war, but.
Right.
At least the most recent episode with Mud coming back. And kind of the time travel stuff
mm-hmm.
made it a little more fun. It's kind of in my opinion, it was the best episode to date.
I've heard. I haven't
he's
seen
killing people.
I haven't. I haven't seen the past episode, the latest one. But
he's a murderer. He's a sociopath.
What's
you
that?
See the most recent episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Mud kills people. Yeah, and he's a complete sociopath.
Here's my main one sentence gripe about Star Trek Discovery. I don't like any of the characters. That's it. Like, none of them I'm rooting for. None of them I want to succeed. None of them I want to like. None of them I'm afraid they're going to die. They could kill all of them, and I'd be fine with it. Like, that's the only problem. What's that? Man.
Cast Klingons.
You guys are breaking up and not. How are you guys doing? You guys there?
Good.
Can you hear us?
Okay, there we go. Yeah, you guys are cutting in and out. The internet is fantastic today. Yay!
Yes, it is.
There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. There is.
Yeah, my. I don't want to talk too much about Star Trek Discovery. Let's wait. I love the idea of comparing it to the Orville, but I need to get caught up on the Orville.
Yeah,
but
let's do that.
My description of the one-word description of my reaction to Star Trek Discovery is that I'm annoyed every time I watch it.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So there was some big news this week because of BlizzCon, lots of announcements at BlizzCon. But Christopher, you're kind of the still playing World. Well, you canceled your World of Warcraft subscription, but are you have stuff to say about this new expansion
my
and
renewal?
Why? Right. So what's
canceled my renewal?
So. Right. So what do you have to say about this new stuff? What's your thoughts?
Well, I'll have to. I do have to say, this is the first BlizzCon that I have not paid the fee in order to be able to watch it while it's going on.
Okay.
Okay.
The electronic attendance, whatever they call it, the virtual ticket.
Yeah.
This is the first one in years that I haven't paid for. That sort of tells you where I'm at with regard to that game. I loved it. I have definitely fallen off. From what I've read about it and the videos that I've watched, it looks like it is a return to the classic, return to the core, which made it fun. The conflict between the Alliance and the Horde.
That video is really cool. The whole battle between the Horde and Alliance was pretty cool looking cinematic. Yeah. Blizzard always makes sweet cinematics.
As a person who's never really played the game, that like 4 or 5 minute cinematic that they created to kind of illustrate what.
Nothing. I'm hearing nothing. Great.
Or buy the expansion or do anything with regard to WoW. You know, the information is a blip that it looks intriguing, but yeah, I don't know if I will. I don't know if I'll jump back in. I'll have to read some more about what the new stuff is.
You know what really interests me was the classic server. That sounded more interesting to me than all the other like. Getting to 120 and doing
See, the classic server is stupid in my mind because those are the nightmare 40-man raid and bullshit.
Oh yeah, but man,
that's just rose-colored glasses. People wearing it sucked. Classic WoW was not very good. It was
just a little rougher. You know, it took you longer to level. It took you longer to get places. It took.
Yeah, I don't understand the appeal of any of that.
I don't know. I kind of like it. I mean, I remember playing Classic, and man, those were besides like what was the one in the north, the Northrend one? That one that was like the best expansion. Frozen Throne and Classic were my favorite times playing that game. Like I didn't like the going through the portal one, and I didn't really like Cataclysm, and I didn't really like Burning Legion was ugh. So we're kind of having some internet problems today, so we're just gonna call it. This is episode 82. Unless you guys, we'll try to do another one soon. But thank you for listening.
We will do another one soon.
There's
multiple. Can you hear me right now?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay. There's multiple big movies coming out in the next few weeks, next month. So we're gonna have to record a lot.
Yeah.
Because a lot of geeky stuff is going down in the next few weeks.
Right. Right.
So You'll be getting many episodes from us coming forward before
I hope
the end of the new year.
Yeah,
don't you worry. And of course, totally. Our year capper best of episode.
Oh yeah, well that'll be the Christmas time. Woo! I'll be home and we'll and we got Star Wars coming in December. We're gonna be able to talk about Star Wars in December. Oh, it's gonna be so good! So excited for that.
40 days.
You should listen. If you have any questions, comments, you should email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com and then follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com, brothersgeek.com, and then Facebook, Brothers Geek Podcast. Those are all the things.
Do it. Listen.
Do it. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Watch.
I hope you enjoyed it. I'll talk to you later.